Lord, may we hear your word in our heart. May we have your grace to put it into practice in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat. Good morning, everyone. It's really good to Lynn and I to be with you this morning. Great to worship in this lovely space on a lovely morning, giving thanks to God for all God's many, many blessings to us. It's beautiful. A couple of weeks ago, our community experienced an important change point in its life in the year. School holidays ended. Even though summer isn't over just yet, when school goes back after the summer holidays, it always feels like the end of summer, I think. These days, Lynn and I don't have school-aged children, so we don't rejoice anymore when school holidays end. In fact, I think it's a pity when the holidays end because the traffic gets much worse. Today is also a significant change point because today is the last Sunday of what's called the Epiphany season in the church. Epiphany, which marks the revealing of Jesus to non-Jewish people through the coming of the wise men, is kept on January the 6th. Wednesday this week is Ash Wednesday, the start of Lent. So today marks the last Sunday of the Epiphany season. There have been six of them, including today. Right through the Epiphany season, the focus has been on the revealing of Jesus, starting from Jesus and the wise men, the revelation of Jesus to the Gentiles. From Ash Wednesday, the focus is very much on the cross, and then at Easter, on the resurrection of Jesus. So just as the end of school holidays was a change point, so today is a change point as well. The subject of today's gospel reading from Mark chapter 9 is also a change point in the Gospel of Mark. The event that is today's passage is what has been come to be known as the Transfiguration. It's a strange event, really. It's kind of completely outside our experience. Even though it's strange, what's known as the Transfiguration is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospel. So it must have been very important for the early Christians as they gathered after the resurrection. Not many events of Jesus' ministry are in all in three of the four Gospels. So it kind of gives us an indication of how significant this event was. This happening is called the Transfiguration because of what happened to Jesus. Mark chapter 9 verse 2 says, 6 days later, and we'll come back to 6 days after what, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. This event is called the Transfiguration because the scripture says Jesus was transfigured. He was changed. He looked entirely different and his clothes became dazzling white. There are two things especially about the Transfiguration as Mark presents it in today's gospel. The first is that the Transfiguration continues the theme of Epiphany, in that this event makes it very clear who Jesus is. Earlier in Mark chapter 8, Jesus had asked the disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And the disciples replied, "Well, John the Baptist, some people say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." Jesus then asked the million-dollar question, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." But it's actually hard to know how totally convinced Peter really was. So the question of Jesus' identity, as far as the disciples were concerned, still seems to be a bit up in the air. There's no doubt, however, after the Transfiguration event. There in that encounter, the disciples and Jesus heard a voice that came from the cloud that said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." The disciples would have clearly understood that voice to be God, not because of its tone or its volume, but because they were on a mountain. And that's where you met God, as far as the Old Testament was concerned. That's where God encountered people. And the voice came from a cloud. God, clouds, mountains, and messages from God all went together in the Old Testament, which was the Bible, as far as the disciples were concerned. So the message of the Transfiguration event, which happened 6 days after Jesus asked the question, "Who do people say that I am?" is that the identity of Jesus is beyond doubt. He is not, as the disciples reported, a prophet come back to life, or John the Baptist, or Elijah. This Jesus is the Son of God, and he was to be heard. He was to be listened to. That's the second part of this message. Not only is Jesus the Son of God, but listen to him. Take what he says very, very seriously. He's worth listening to, he's dependable and trustworthy, and he speaks with the authority of God. Take note of what he says. The second important thing about the Transfiguration is the focus on the cross. The word cross doesn't actually occur in Mark's version of this event. However, just as the ending of the school holidays is an important change point, and the end of the Epiphany season is an important change point as we change direction and head towards Lent and Easter, this moment in Mark's Gospel is an important change point too. From this point, from the Transfiguration, Jesus starts to head towards Jerusalem. It's like he turns his face towards Jerusalem. And we know what was waiting for him at Jerusalem. Not just the cross with its pain and death, but also its shame and its humiliation. So where the cross is now starting to loom large from this point in Mark's Gospel. Straight after the conversation with the disciples about Jesus' identity, "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man, which is Jesus, must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. So even though the word cross doesn't occur in the Transfiguration event, the cross and its rejection and humiliation and suffering are well and truly on the horizon. So in this one event, the Transfiguration, we have both a further epiphany, a further revealing, who is Jesus? This is my Son, the Chosen One, listen to him. And also, we have a glimpse of the future which awaited Jesus in Jerusalem. Not just his awful death, it's actually more than that. Also his shameful treatment and his rejection. Now the question, whenever we read the scriptures, should always be, so what? So that's all very interesting, but what might the implication for our life be? How might this change the way we live our life? How might things be different for us after reading this passage? Well, I've got two suggestions. The first concerns Jesus' identity. I get the feeling that sometimes in the church there is a bit of nervousness about the name Jesus. It's a nervousness in the community, but it's even in the church. We're pretty comfortable using the term God, a more generic kind of term, but there's a tendency, I think, to be a bit nervous talking about Jesus. We shy away from Jesus. Perhaps because more people in the community are generally comfortable with God. You don't have to be a Christian to be comfortable with God. Generally, spiritual people are okay with the term God, not to mention people of religious faiths like Jewish people, Muslim people, Hindu people, and even Buddhist people. But I'd like to suggest we need to push back against that by not being shy at all to talk about Jesus. and our faith in Jesus. Christianity is not a general religious movement. Christianity is a Jesus movement. It's all about Jesus for us. We are followers of Jesus. Take Jesus out of Christianity, and there's actually not a lot left. And as today's gospel reading reminds us, Jesus is the Son of God. He's not merely a prophet or a healer or a wise man. In fact, he's either the Son of God or he's a fake, not to be considered at all. You can't have a foot in both camps. Without Jesus being the Son of God, what he taught actually is not worth taking seriously, because all of its foundation is removed if Jesus is not the Son of God. As Christians, we are on about Jesus. We follow Jesus. It's Jesus who we understand reveals what God is like. What is God like? Look at Jesus. That's what God is like. It's Jesus who brings us and offers us our salvation. And it's right and proper for us to be open and clear about our loyalty to Jesus. The second suggestion is about the cross. Again, in current thinking, the cross is, well, offensive. For a number of reasons, really. Some people don't think that we need the cross because we can make ourselves good enough to be okay with God. Some are offended by its brutality, and that's actually quite reasonable. But the Romans were like that. Some are offended by the idea that the cross is necessary for the forgiveness of sins, because perhaps they don't take the consequences of sin very seriously, and that Jesus' death is actually very important in dealing with those consequences. But these are not new issues. People were offended by the cross when the first Christians, including St. Paul, started preaching about it. The cross of Jesus, the shame, the rejection, and the death of Jesus is very important, actually. In the cross of Christ, all that was necessary to begin the new creation of the world happened. It's not even just about the forgiveness of human sin. It's more than that. It's about a new creation, heaven being joined to earth. And all that was necessary for that to happen was there in the event of the death of Jesus on the cross. The disciples struggled with the identity of Jesus. We know that. We can see that as we read the Gospels, including Mark. It was a pretty tough situation for them. This person appears beginning to teach and minister. And the key question, actually, for Mark's Gospel is, who is this? Who is this person? And we see a very significant answer to the question in the Transfiguration, today's Gospel reading. They knew that he was Jesus the man, but they struggled with the idea that Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed Saviour, God among us as a human. The reality is that the identity of Jesus, who is Jesus, is still a struggle for many in our community. Historically, there is extremely good evidence that Jesus lived. Serious historians actually don't doubt that Jesus lived. The question is, who is he? Is he the Son of God? Is he the Messiah? Or is he what, just a someone who presented themselves as a wise teacher, who hasn't faded away? We understand him to be the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, and the Transfiguration is part of that. It's important for at least two reasons, the identity of Jesus. First, the way we think of someone influences the way we treat them. If we think of Jesus as just a wise teacher, we may take notice of his teaching if we think it's worth taking notice of, but we won't do much else. But if we think that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, then we will depend upon him for our salvation. We will obey what he says. We will worship him as God. And we will trust him with all of our life. and we will share his ministry as we live our lives. That's why our understanding of who Jesus is very critical. It's clear that the disciples struggled, but in the end they got it. So much so that they were prepared to proclaim Jesus as Lord, even if it cost them their lives, which it did in many cases. The Transfiguration event was one way God helped the disciples begin to get an idea of who Jesus was. God continues to help us too, because this continues to be an important question. He doesn't help us usually by a voice from heaven, but he does help us by the testimony of others, for instance, by those who wrote the Gospels, which we read in the New Testament, but also through the people who have discovered the truth about Jesus, the billions of people who currently call Jesus Lord. And as we take their testimony seriously, as we place our trust in Jesus, we experience this claim to be true in our own life, and our own life begins to be transformed. But even more, we begin to transform the lives of people who are around us in a positive kind of way. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. It's the same message to us, and we need to make that message known to the world. So the next question, I guess, is, what is the parish of Campbelltown doing to do that? What is the parish of Campbelltown doing to get this message of Jesus out there into the community? If you haven't been thinking about that, I would really encourage you to start thinking and praying about that question. It's a really important question for us, and it's a really important question for everybody in the community. Start praying. Start thinking. Start having a go. Don't wait for a new priest to come along. The Lord may well be ready to lead you to do it more and more and better right now. And be ready also to welcome and receive people who God brings along who are curious about finding out about Jesus. I have to say that I've had some very concerning reports from a couple of people who've recently moved to Adelaide and have recently visited Adelaide Anglican churches. Their report has not been good. They have not been welcomed well. Not at St. Martin's, mind you. You're lucky. But these people went along to Anglican churches and either no one spoke to them at all, or they got a passing hello at the front door while the welcomers actually spent their time talking to each other. It is a thing that God is continuing to draw people to himself. God is continuing to bring people to faith. God is continuing to bring people along to Anglican churches. Sometimes because of things that the congregation is doing, and sometimes just because God is bringing them. Could even dare to say, despite the congregation sometimes. We need to expect that God is going to continue to bring people to faith. And we need to be ready to welcome them and include them and nurture them and encourage them and nourish that faith. So the second thing I'd like you to think about, as well as how you're going in terms of taking the message of Jesus into the community, is when God brings people to the church, how are you welcoming them? How are you including them? How are you making them feel part of the community? What is in place to help them explore the Christian faith or perhaps be introduced to it? The name of Jesus continues to be powerful. The message of the Transfiguration continues to be absolutely true. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. In him there is light and life and purpose. Not just for the human part of creation, but for the whole cosmos. This is a really important part of our life as the church, followers of Jesus. May the Lord give us strength to hear the message, to share the message, and to welcome and nurture people who receive the message. Let's have a prayer. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise that in Jesus you have revealed yourself to us, to the whole world. Thank you, Lord, that by looking at Jesus, his style, his priorities, his character, we see what you are like. Thank you, Lord, that we have experienced this to at least some degree in our lives and are experiencing your growing salvation in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you help us to cotton on to this more and more and be ready to share it with others. May this message that Jesus is your Son, the Beloved, and worthy of being listened to be spread more and more. And Lord, please use us in the spreading. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.